I'll give you just a brief background of our family. This morning we really just spent most of the time focusing right on the Word of God and some different messages the Lord laid on our heart. But tonight I want to give an opportunity just to explain a little bit about Cameroon. My involvement with Cameroon really began, and I'm thankful, as an answer to prayer. Where I went to Bible college, we were required to do a ministry internship. And over my time in college, I went there because God called me to college. I had never really pursued a college interest, but when God called me to preach, began to work in my life as a teenager, I began to be sensitive to the way I needed to be yielded to whatever the Lord would have me to do. And that meant going to Bible college instead of staying home and working with my dad and enjoying the family property there and the business. Over the course of the time in my college years, I began to be burdened for an overseas internship. At that time, our college is a small school, not a large missions program, although missions was emphasized. There wasn't a laid out track for how to go to the mission field necessarily. And I began, Lord, how do I go to the mission field? I don't even know how to do that. Which country do you go to? When you believe the gospel, when you believe Jesus is the answer for the entire world, anywhere is a good place to go. And I began to really seriously seek the Lord about how to know where to go and get some good counsel about that. I was burdened to work alongside of a veteran missionary to get some good experience in the ministry that way, and was burdened to go to an overseas field as opposed to working in the States for that 8 weeks. But I also had to juggle my job. We had a position with my dad, and the summer times were very busy for us. And I was not able to do my internship during the summertime, but I had an opening from January to May. And I give all this to say, God knows the circumstances of our lives. And He knows how to lead us in a way that we understand Him. And as a young man, I didn't know where to go and what to do, but I knew some very clear biblical principles that I wanted to follow. I wanted to go. I wanted to work alongside of somebody. And I was trusting the Lord to direct through my parents and through the circumstances that I couldn't change in my life. And at that time, I had to make a decision within a few weeks and was really wrestling through that and just gave it to the Lord and said, Lord, if you want me to do this, this is up to you to direct us. And I just kind of gave it into His hands. And a few weeks later, somebody mentioned that there was a need to go to a church up in Oshkosh that had a aviation ministry where a missionary had just finished building a plane and needed some extra help cleaning up the fiberglass. If you've ever worked with fiberglass construction, it makes a big mess. And they just needed someone to sweep. And I wanted to get off of campus and out of town for a little bit and go somewhere else besides school. Went up to Oshkosh to Wildwood Baptist Church and the Wings as Eagles ministry and began sweeping there. And a few minutes after I got there, the missionary came in, whose name is Tom Needham. And if you know Tom, you know this isn't uncommon for him. But all I know is that what happened next was a big deal for me. He began talking to me within a few minutes, asked me if I'd ever consider doing an internship in Cameroon. And I said, well, I'm actually praying about that right now. And he said, well, I'd like to invite you personally. I know you go to a good school, and I know a little bit about your brother. Would you consider coming to Cameroon? So there I had an invitation to an overseas mission field. And then he paused and said the main hesitation and detail we'd have to figure out is when you could come, because it would really be ideal for you to not come in the summertime. It'd be ideal for you to come in January, which is when I needed to do an internship. And at that point, I began to ask the question, where is Cameroon? I'd never heard of Cameroon before. And the Lord really, just through those basic answers to prayer, made me willing to go. And there, that was in the spring. It was the next January that I went over there in 2008 and was involved in what later became the church my brother actually planted when he went over there as a missionary later on. And God used that time in my own life to use me in a way. I didn't grow up actively teaching and preaching in any kind of ministry situation, but that's where God really convinced me that the gospel is the power of God as opposed to my own abilities and just my wisdom and smarts. There were situations we got into that we didn't foresee, and we watched the Lord work in those situations and do things that we couldn't explain, just as far as opening people's hearts to the gospel and the receptiveness there. So that was 2008. Over the course of life, as I continue just one step at a time to be involved, sorry about that, I never got to that, but began to continue to be involved in supporting and praying and communicating with the ministry in Cameroon, but wasn't quite ready. Our church didn't have a solid pastoral situation. I wasn't sure where to go at that particular time. Ended up just focusing on raising my family and learning how to be a husband and a father while being involved in some different short-term things. But in 2015, my wife and I, we were self-employed, and my dad allowed us, we worked together, we were able to plan for this, to go over and be involved in several church planning. There was a large-scale church planning work to attempt to start some churches in multiple locations. And we saved up, we went over, and we were able to spend the 6 months there with my brother Sam and Tom Needham. And Sam and Tom are both bush pilots, but they're also, really, their primary burden is the establishing of the churches there, and they work with a good group. I want to just point out a couple key details. If you can see on the map there where Cameroon is, Cameroon used to be two colonies, the English and the French Cameroons. They were put together into one country back in the 50s, which is part of the reason for the conflict there now. If you know anything about, even in Quebec, if you know anything about Canadian issues, there's always tension where English and French are in the same country. There's always a tension between the two for which one will have the dominant influence in the culture, and that has definitely been the case in Cameroon. It has been a fairly stable country because of the long-term rule of a single president over the last 30-plus years. But in the last years, as he's gotten older, and as the different troubles have come more to the surface, the western part of the country, that hump you see there, is the English provinces. Those two have effectively refused, not even as a whole, but they are the home of a group of rebels that want a separate country, and they have refused to allow anybody who is not interested in rebellion to live a normal life. They've attacked the military, they've attacked those who do not go along with them, and over the course of the last 5 years, it has made it to where really it is not a safe place to be. A co-worker, a friend of ours, Brother Charles Wesco, was killed there in 2018, and the place he was not even a bad place to be. He was not in a place he shouldn't have been, doing something he shouldn't have been doing, and there was no reason to believe that would have happened at that time. But after that very, very sad event, the Lord has worked it together for good, in the sense that the ministry, for the most part, a lot of what God was doing in Cameroon, a lot of it was focused in the English side, because the door was open and there was a need. But now, because of the inability to operate safely in the English side, all of the Americans and foreigners are out of the English-speaking part of the country now, and are now resettling really in the French side. The reason I point that out is there is a couple numbers. I don't know how clear they show up there, but I want to mention something. I did not grow up interested or being connected to in any way French culture. Maybe some of you have that heritage. It's not part of my heritage as a family, and it is not a part of our background. My father was a soldier. All I knew about France was that they lost wars, and I would make jokes about it. That's all as far as I knew. And when the Lord began to really put on our heart the need for the French side, it began to be stirred about it. There are, if you think of the country of France, population between 50 and 60 million people, but there are 435 plus French speakers in the world, 435 million people that speak French in the world. 70% of those people are in Africa. So the burden we have, as we see the Lord directing into French ministry, is that the Lord would take these men, these women that are trained in these churches and have a burden to take the gospel beyond their own church, that it would go beyond even the country of Cameroon. And we've already actually seen that. A lot of the folks that were deeply grounded and rooted already that fled went into Nigeria and have begun spreading the gospel into Nigeria. But now the focus has gone to the French side. And I know for us, as we've started to learn French, French is a different culture. It's a much more secular culture in many ways. It's very different in a lot of ways. But at the same time, they are people who and if you get to know the believers, they love the Lord just like we do. But there are those obstacles to overcome. One other detail to point out, French and English are the official languages, but Cameroon is number 5 in the world of number of official spoken languages in one country. There's different numbers here. I think the number I put on there was, there's 24, but there are over 250 languages actually spoken. There are 24 official, but 250 distinct languages spoken there. Not all of them written. So that gives you an understanding of how diverse the culture can be. It's not uncommon for someone in Cameroon to speak 5 languages. And we'll be learning French. A lot of those folks do not necessarily speak English or French when they're at home with their family. They're going to speak their country talk. They're going to speak their own language. There's a couple songs that we love that are songs that are loved over there, where it's not uncommon on a friend day in Cameroon for you to sing that verse of that song and the song leader to call out which language it should be sung in and to hear it sung in 6 different languages. So you get to see and you get to hear people with passion sing it in their mother tongue. So languages and culture are a big thing over there. Islam has a large representation also. One other detail just to point out that we are burdened about and that we've seen is the number of young people. This is the case in most African countries where the normal one man, one woman home is a very abnormal thing. And there are 60% of the population are 25 years and younger. So there's a large number of young people, and it is a regular thing to be able to get into a public school and to be able to give the gospel to an assembly of several thousand young people and to be able to distribute scriptures and invite them. The follow-up with that is obviously very challenging, but the openness and the receptiveness of both the teachers and the young people to hear the gospel, for us as Americans, we don't always know how to handle that situation. It's amazing to see the Lord bless that, and the missionaries there and the national pastors have been taking advantage of that, and they're asking God to continue that. We're burdened and thankful for the work that has gone on there. There's some interesting history. One of the first missionaries that went to Cameroon was a former slave from Jamaica who trusted Christ during the Second Great Awakening, later on in the Second Great Awakening, and went with an English preacher to Cameroon in the 1860s, burdened for Africa. And that's where some of the evangelical background begins in Cameroon. There are works there that trace their roots back to Joseph Merrick and his missionary work in the 1800s. So we're thankful for what God has done in the past, but are aware that the current generation of Cameroon needs to be reached again, and also burdened that it go beyond Cameroon. The population is between 28 and 30 million, and the vast majority of the large French cities do not have a single gospel-preaching church. There'd be a lot of charismatics. That would be the closest thing to a clear gospel preached, and a lot of their messages obviously are mixed with they don't believe in assurance of salvation and would have a works gospel that they would preach. So we're thankful for how God has directed that way. We'll be joining the missionaries in Bafassam, which is kind of the new place to start over as we're getting our bearings in Cameroon. Bafassam has 1 million people, and at this point, 1 independent Baptist church there. So it has been started by a national pastor who had to leave where he was from because of the fighting that's gone on. One thing to note, I get questions about this, I'll just point this out. A lot of the churches that were started in the English side have continued on because of the pattern of starting them with national leadership and training those men and establishing and teaching pastors. So those churches, many of them, the vast majority of them, have continued on. Some of them facing intense situations. They are more able, though, to, when there's fighting in that vicinity, hide and come back when it's safe and stay there, versus Americans who are often targeted for hostages or publicity or whatever. So that it has been encouraging to see what has happened in the past continue on there in the days ahead. The burden in Cameroon amongst the national pastors that we know, and there are several that we know quite well as the missionaries, but really this heartbeat came from the men there who were saved out of that culture. As they have gathered together regularly to pray and seek the Lord for the days ahead, they're burdened for Cameroon. And when I was there in 2015, how can I be a part of this? What would I do here? Their burden is to pray for this burden, and any involvement for this burden is the gospel to every creature in Cameroon, to everybody. Everybody should have the opportunity to hear the gospel in this country. They are burdened for there to be a church established in every village and pastors and leaders trained for every church. And the burden is not to wait until we are completely finished building a building in this village before we go to the next one. And what often is the case is a church will get started, it'll get established, and immediately they're made aware of where is a village that this church can adopt to get the gospel to. And it was exciting for me to see, as a young man, as someone burdened to see the Lord work, exciting for me to see a church that was established based on young people that I was discipling back in 2008 that was already involved in trying to reach interior villages with the gospel. That was amazing for me to see folks take God at His word and take steps of faith and go and attempt to get the gospel to other parts. So we feel very much as though we are joining a group of folks that already have a very clear burden of what they're doing, and we'll be focusing on learning French and then hopefully within our first term going with a national pastor to another city. We'll see how the Lord actually directs that. We're going to let Him direct one step at a time, but there are a number of places where there is nothing. And so we're going to be starting in Bafasam, and then we'll go from there. I'll give you a moment here to think of questions. I get different questions. I try and incorporate answers to some of those in what I just said, but any questions that folks have are always definitely welcome. One thing I will just point out, how many of here have been on a missions trip out of the country, or been out of the country for business, or on a missions trip officially? I would encourage you, if you've never been out of the country, if you ever get the opportunity, if the Lord lets you do that, it really opens your eyes to how to pray for missionaries. For us, when we came back in 2015 after being over there for 6 months, the one thing that was shocking to us was 70-mile-an-hour, 4-lane interstate highways. We weren't quite sure how to handle that, because there are no roads that you can drive that fast on in Cameroon because of the poor infrastructure and the bumping around and just the jolting and the shaking just to drive a mile. So there are a lot of ways to pray, and I threw that graphic up there, the size of the state of Illinois, because I spent a lot of my growing up years there. It takes you about 8 hours to drive from the top of the state to the bottom of the state of Illinois on interstates. So if you look at the shape of Cameroon and the size, recognize that it takes days and days to get places in Cameroon. So it takes a little more work just to get places and to move around there. So when we have outreaches in our churches here, it's real easy, comparatively speaking, to go knock on somebody's door across town in Franklin, as opposed to beating your body up to drive 20 miles and then taking an hour to get there to do some witnessing. So there are definite differences there that way. We're thankful for the open door that is there in that country. Any questions, though, about Cameroon specifically, or about us? What will we be doing there? Yes, sir. So about 570, the currency is the African franc. So 570 francs to $1, 570 francs will be all that you would need for a day's food. So most Cameroonians will work for their day's food and then try their best to work for a little bit extra and find creative ways to do that. So obviously some things are pretty expensive. Land, it's not easy to go buy land over there. So renting an apartment, not anything fancy, but a month's rent at an apartment would be around $400 a month. Yeah, vehicles. So housing and food are cheaper in Africa. Vehicles are about twice as much over there. They're less available and much, they don't last as long. So what's common over there is when we're done with our vehicles here, Africans that are here in the States, we'll buy them for nothing, ship them over there, and sell them for a profit. And then African mechanics will fix them up and get them running again. And they do an amazing job at that, especially Toyota vehicles. So pretty much that's the main vehicle you're going to see there because of the parts that are available. So vehicles are expensive, food is cheap. Yeah, so the average Cameroonian is not going to be involved in insurance. is not going to have insurance. His insurance is his connection with his family. So it's common there, if somebody has a major health crisis, to ask everybody they know to help chip in a little bit, and people will do that. And that's very common. For us, our pastors ask us to have an health insurance. So we won't be using it a whole lot, but the way it works is we'll be paying cash for medical services that we can find over there. There are several hospital networks that were started by Baptists 100 years ago, where those hospital systems are actually very good. They're a lot of them are staffed by Americans in the leadership. If you can get to one of those, they often do a good job. For the major ones, a lot of missionaries, a coworker of ours that has been dealing with cancer goes to Europe for those treatments. Sure, yeah. So our country at this point does not require citizens to be vaccinated, so there are no requirements that way. Africa does not either, most countries in Africa, and if their governments are very strict with that, that is the exception. There are some that are very strict with it. Many African countries will give, they are pro-vaccination in their government language, but the vast majority of the people would have a real problem and distrust the vaccines, in large part due to some of the medical experimentation that's happened. And a lot of those things would be viewed as Western population control. And there's a lot of fear and a lot of rumors, some of it based in reality, but a vast majority of it just based on rumors that vaccines are Western population control methods. So the vast majority of the population reject those kinds of things. So, for example, for us, our family would not, at this point, be required to be vaccinated to go into the country, but it is officially closed to non-residents, so essential workers only. So, by way of illustration, my brother went back for his third term. He had his residency permit. He already had residency established there, so they allowed him to come back into the country. Others have gone just even recently. They've applied for a visa and said, we are essential workers working with Christian missions, and they granted them access. Others have put in the same request and been denied access. So it's very much, at this point, it's praying that God lets people in. So we will not be obviously going as a family yet, because we just started deputation in August, but we're trusting that by the time we finish raising our support, that we'll be able to get in, and we have reason to believe there's a good chance of that. So, it's not America when it comes to government, though. Things take a long time and are not always consistent. You don't always know what's going to happen. So, but officially, you ask, and the Lord gives you favor, and you get in. But you're able to go openly as a missionary. So, yes. Yeah, so part of even getting into Cameroon is somebody with residency has to invite you. So when I apply, I am actually, one way I usually give prayer requests for folks that they can pray specifically for us. One burden that we have right now is I'm supposed to go in February for 3 weeks. The Lord opened the door to go in and accomplish a couple specific tasks with an aviation project besides working with one of the churches. And just, I haven't been there for 5 years now, so just getting back in touch with some of the national men that I know well and just renewing some of that relationship, as well as doing some survey work on the French schooling there. I applied for that visa. We're waiting for them to approve it, and at this point we haven't heard. It has there's been non-communication from the embassy there. So we're praying that God would open that door up. That's in February. So I forget what your question was, but Yeah. So part of that application was having a letter from a resident in Cameroon requesting that this person be able to come in. So it's a lot of paperwork, and it's a lot of file this form, and pray and ask the Lord to give favor, and the Lord does that. It's been an open door so far. So. But it's not easy. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, my whole family will go. The pattern we'll do is we'll go for 4 years and then come home for a short break before going again. Yep. Sure. The area that we'll be going to, they have a police force and medical force, and they have the same things that we would have that way, just not as much money behind everything. It is a French city, so there is not the revolution or the fighting that has been going on in the English side is not happening in the French side. Geographically, it's hard for people. The rebels are in an area where they're able to operate without the government able to reach them because it's difficult terrain-wise to get to them. It's also difficult for them to come into the French section and operate openly. So there's relative safety on the French side, as safe as you can be. There's obviously, just like there's crime here and bad neighborhoods here, there's all of those things. We have been there enough and just prayed about it enough to where we would probably be safer where we're going to live than if we lived in Chicago. So, and so I've been in places in Milwaukee and Chicago that are not safe for you as a family. So there are definitely things to consider, but where we're going to be going, we're going to be in a safe spot. I mean, obviously the Lord is in control of those things, though. But good questions. There, because of Brother Wesco's death, it's been most folks have not been connected with the death of a missionary in recent history. So a lot of folks ask questions about those, and those are good things. There's a lot of things we don't understand in that situation. A lot of things that are not known, a lot of things that are known. People have asked, well, what should they have done? There's a lot of those things that have been asked, but the bottom line is the Lord wants the gospel to go to every part of the world, and the Lord is got the time of our death appointed, and it's up to Him to make that decision. And we do our best to be wise in our decisions, but ultimately trusting the Lord to guide and direct in some of those things. But good questions. Any other questions? I don't want to. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. So the first time I was involved in one of those things, what it looked like was going spending some time in prayer. Lord, where should we plant a church? Where makes sense with where we're at, what we're able to do, where can we get to, where's the need, and seeking the Lord to pray. And what happened in that particular situation is we met somebody from a certain town, the town of Indop, that was burdened for a church in their area. So I and another fellow who was a grown man, married man, who was at that time been saved about 5 years and was taking Bible Institute courses, went to this town regularly on Saturdays just to pass tracts out and begin witnessing people and begin seeking the Lord for that town. And over the course of several months of doing that, we were then able to establish a Bible study on Sunday afternoons. We were able to rent a space and begin holding Bible studies. And people from other denominations would come. People who had received tracts would come. And what happened in that particular situation, this isn't uncommon, where you begin to get to know people, you find out folks who have a genuine heart for the Lord, you have some very heated and strong Bible studies where you weed out people who do not accept the Bible as the authority of faith and practice, and they'll come to a Bible study, but when they realize that these people believe in baptism by immersion of adults, not in children, or we don't believe in tongues, and you get to work through those different passages, you end up with a core group of people that are burdened, and you begin asking the question, well, how do you plan a church? What is a church? Well, it's a group of baptized believers that have covenanted together as a body to follow the Lord Jesus. And you begin to ask those questions, and that's the process in that particular town where that's how that happened. It was a Bible study that happened for a number of months before the gentleman that I was working with, and then my brother came and actually moved to that town, began holding meetings permanently. They constituted as a church, and then eventually Chrysanthus was ordained as the pastor there as it became clear that God's hand was on his life and that he was ready and that God had called him to do that. And that's really really that process where the Lord wants to get the gospel, so you ask the Lord to direct you to the right town. You have to print a lot of gospel materials and Bibles. You have to spend a lot of time getting to know folks and just working with folks and giving the gospel and working through different issues. You consistently meet with folks and work through those different issues. And then as it's very much, you see the Lord growing it, and then there is, as it were, there's a birth where the time is ready and you work on a constitution and you organize as a group of folks. And that particular church is now completely self-sustaining, and they've helped start two more. So that process of just starting to get the gospel where it is not and trusting the Lord step by step in that process, that's how it's worked so far. But what you said is important also, in that it takes work. It takes people just willing to go. It takes people willing to fold and print tracts and to deal with the headaches of printing things in Africa and transporting them and getting them there and then working with people. Most Africans are going to accept anything if you're handing it out. So then you have to work with people that want to get to know you so they can make a business connection with America somehow. And you're having to work through a lot of different people issues that way. But it does take just a lot of going and giving the gospel and praying. And honestly, one of the most comforting things for us is this is the Lord's work. He's the head of the church, and he is burdened to start churches in these places. And oftentimes, he's just looking for somebody to go. And he's willing to equip and give wisdom and connect you where you need to go. For us, it started, for me, just I wanted to do an internship and didn't know what that was going to involve. And it started by just getting there, and the Lord took it from there. So, yes, sir. Yeah. So what has happened there is a lot of the churches will adopt, or there'll be a burden for these different needs in the ministries there. So there's been a camp that one of the churches has started, and the other churches will come and help maybe with some of the building and staffing when they hold it. The Bible Institute was much the same, where there was a need for advanced training for pastors and for young ladies that are burdened for ministry. The Lord raised up, it was just called Living Hope Baptist Bible Institute. It was the church there in Sabga. That church, because of the fighting, is no longer accessible for the Bible Institute. So it is kind of the leadership of that has been taken over by a new church that's been started by a missionary in the capital. And what happens is there's general oversight by one of the churches of the Institute, but then the different pastors or missionaries will take turns teaching some of the courses in that Institute. So my brother, for example, is in the city of Bafasam with Victory Baptist Church, but he'll be going down to teach Baptist history in a three-week block form sometime when the term starts again next year. So they'll pray and talk, and it is governed by the church that it's based in, but there is a general agreement and cooperation among the like-minded independent Baptists there to staff it and teach it, though. So there's a couple dedicated to it. There's one specific missionary dedicated to it, but then there'll be easily half a dozen pastors and missionaries that participate in the teaching of it. So that has had to be restarted because of the fighting. So it's obviously kind of in its infancy and it's restarting. I think the last term they had about 12 enrolled. So a lot of the current leadership went through that same exact course 20 years ago during the initial institute. So a lot of the current pastoral leadership has been trained that way. So, yep, it's a definite need. I don't know the role that I will have. Most likely it'll be, what is needed, what subject is needed, who can focus on this and who can teach this and let the Lord lead. But we'll be involved in that to some extent. One element I would ask you to pray for, and I was planning tonight to just simply re-articulate the Great Commission principles, nothing too long or deep in the Word of God tonight. But one element that we will be involved in that we're praying about that has been already started there is the radio ministry. We're not sure to what extent we'll be involved, but we've been asked to pray about that. There's, because of some of my technical background, I'm I know enough to be dangerous about electricity, so when it comes to things like loose wires and putting together generators for broadcasting stations, they're asking, would you be willing to just at least help? The pastors there will record messages and materials both for mass outreach but also discipleship subjects. So they'll have conferences that they preach on marriage, on the home, and then those will get recorded and have been broadcasted. And they've just started a very basic broadcasting system out of one of the churches there. And the response they've had has already been such to where there's a great burden among the pastors there to create some programming and then repeat that throughout the whole country. And there's been some steps taken to already research that with the government to get some licensing and just to be able to broadcast some of this material. So a lot of the pastors are very burdened and convinced that because in Africa, radio is a big thing. And I grew up listening to radio all the time in my job. I was in my truck all the time. And I was always looking for something quality to listen to. So there has been a great response there already to solid preaching and music on that basic radio station. So we don't know the extent. They're wanting to keep it in-house there, built by and staffed and run by the churches there as opposed to a big American project. But we're excited if we... Even just a little bit that our kids have done musically, they've got some of the recordings over there and have enjoyed them a lot. So my wife working with the children's choir, working with some of the churches there to produce content for that would be one of the opportunities we're excited about. So I appreciate your prayer. We when the Lord made it very plain about this early in 2021, during COVID, during the shutdown, we began really seeking the Lord. We'd gone through a lot as a family with the death of my father and my grandparents, and once we had that sort of settled and my mom taken care of, we began really, we had already been aware that the Lord wanted us to go into the mission field, but we were seeking the Lord for the right timing and for clarity on Cameroon. The situation there had made it very difficult to make that decision, but the Lord gave great peace about that as we continued to talk and pray with one another and with our pastor and different ones. To where we, when we began doing some homework in March and April and taking some steps forward, and then the Lord making it very plain to step out full time in August. We've been in about 20 churches so far, so really, for some that sounds like a lot, and it has felt in some ways like a lot, but at the same time, kind of just getting started with where we're at, and we're at about between 15 and 20%. We're waiting on some different numbers of our support. So we're excited how God has already blessed just in the very initial days there of deputation. But Matthew chapter 28, and I just want to simply repeat what we mentioned this morning. Not going to preach a long sermon tonight, but I want to just simply point out what we articulated a little bit this morning. We know this principle. The Great Commission is given repeatedly. Jesus gave it to his disciples in Galilee, then he gave it to them again before he was taken up from the Mount of Olives. He repeated it to them. I think because as people we need it repeated. They had it given it to them in multiple times. And this passage, this truth is so profound, it's familiar, but it's complete. Jesus said in verse number 18 of Matthew 28, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." That is the missionary source of power, is the Lord himself. He then says, "Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." So the scope of what we'll be doing is really right there, is giving the gospel, baptizing them biblically, and grounding them in everything the Lord Jesus teaches in the Word of God, and teaching them to do all things whatsoever he's... I've had this question, and I grew up one of the churches we were in where there was this thought that giving the gospel was the pastor, the missionary, or the evangelist job. They're the ones gifted and trained for it. But really, when you look at the simplicity of the Great Commission, Jesus told them to go and give the gospel and to teach and ground and to teach those they reach to do the same. So the gospel is to be carried on by each group of each believer that is reached. They're to be taught and they're to be grounded, and they're to be taught to be giving the gospel and to be discipling, and they're to teach their disciple to give the gospel and to be discipling. And it is never this mentality of where I get saved and now I'm good, I'm done. But Christians are to reach others with the mentality of teaching them to reach others. And I know for me, I got saved and it was a long time before I understood my responsibility to be giving the gospel and to be that my growth was not just for my sake, but that my Christian walk, my Christian life was for the sake of reaching others with the gospel. So the Great Commission is not easy. It's impossible for us. But in this particular passage, Jesus gives us what we need. He tells us He has all power, all authority. He tells us what to do. And then He ends with, "And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." And folks, if we will let that truth dominate us outside of church during the week, Jesus is with me today and He has somebody He wants me to talk to. And be thinking, be ready, be prepared. It gives so much, you know, the battles that we face. Is it right or wrong to do this? What about this struggle in my life? What about this issue or this issue going on? But what about the gospel and the need to get the gospel to those who don't have it? And it brings us right back to it. And I always would say, and I know what God has done in my own life is we've had to work through many different issues as a family. When I have been overwhelmed or discouraged with the different issues of the work world or of the Christian life or church, go give the gospel to somebody. Go find somebody to give the gospel to, and it gives so much perspective to the different issues you may face. Get your heart and mind back on the reality that you know where you're going when you die, and you can tell somebody about that. And the Lord has promised to be with you and to help you, as feeble as you may be, in the giving of the gospel. And you see the Lord use you, and you begin to be encouraged that God really does want to do something. He wants to do something in my neighborhood. He is able to save that neighbor that seems to be hard and resistant. He is able to use me in a culture that I know nothing about. He is able to work, because this truth is still true today. He has all power today, and He's with us always. My wife gave testimony to how that reality is what really encouraged her as we were wrestling with the call to Cameroon, that He's not asking us to go somewhere where He's planning to just drop us off and say, "Have fun, see you later." He's going with us, and He's directed us specifically because He wants to go with us. He has a job to do. So these truths work for the missionary. They work in the churches here in the States, and we're excited what God has done, and we are looking forward to what God is going to do. We ask you to pray for us. People ask, how can we pray for you? I would say for us as a family would be to pray for our family life, for our personal walk with the Lord, for my wife and I just to maintain a good relationship with each other and to be close to the Lord so that we continue to love and lead our kids while doing the work of deputation, of traveling to different churches, of getting to know folks, and of preparing for Cameroon itself. You could also pray for Cameroon. Just 2 weeks ago, one of the pastors that I know well, Pastor Godfrey, who's connected with the camp there, was kidnapped by the rebels and taken and was held for ransom. They released him after his people gave what it was about less than 2% of what they had asked for, and it was they gave in the means of food for these folks, just caring for their physical needs, but saying, "We don't pay ransoms. We can't. We don't own anything. This is the work of the Lord. This is who we are." And the rebels let him go and said, "You won't have any trouble from us again." And he gave the gospel to him, but we didn't know what was going on. All we knew is that Godfrey had been taken and that we weren't sure. They were asking for a large amount of money. We weren't sure. So pray for the believers there that are continuing to give the gospel and to try and work and feed their families and live in a very difficult situation. Pray for the believers in the French side, where there is a secular, busy culture, just like here, trying to make a living, trying to survive, and now taking on the work of the ministry. So pray for the new churches in the French side, and pray for those churches in the English side, that God would continue to just, that folks would continue to walk with the Lord in all of this. And pray for us that we would be able to get there. And the other, what I already shared, just pray that God's will would be done with this trip in February. I have some very specific burdens why we feel like God wants. This trip in February is me and three other men. Just for clarity, it's not my family. It's me and three other men that we're supposed to be going with this short trip So pray that God would open that door and that that would happen if it be His will. And that if it's not His will, that He make it very plain what we're supposed to do during that time. So, any other questions or last comments there? Otherwise, I'll give it over to Brother Pastor Finney. You can close however you see fit that way. If not, let me just say thank you. I know that it's work for, and I know maybe because of your prophet's chamber, it's. I don't know who does the work there for that, but that was a huge blessing to our family. We have, not every church has that offered, so that was a huge blessing and encouragement to us. So we greatly appreciate it. Don't take it for granted that when a church gives that hospitality. So thank you very much. It's been an encouragement for our family, I know. Whatever the Lord does, He's encouraged us for sure this week. So thank you all. We'll be at the table. Any other questions?